Mi va a traer el coso, Danilo.
Rally Talk, dein Offroad Racing Motorrad Podcast. Hier gibt's alles zum Thema Rally, Enduro und Offroad Racing. So, ein etwas anderer Anfang, denn bevor wir hier gleich ganz offiziell mit der Begrüßung starten zum Rally Talk, ein kurzer Hinweis: Das ganze Gespräch mit Willem ist auf Englisch geführt. Wer sagt, Englisch ist nicht so mein Ding, der kann zum Ende oder einfach ans Ende des englischen Parts skippen. Da fasse ich das Ganze nochmal in Deutsch für euch zusammen, versuche das relativ kurz und prägnant zu halten, da das natürlich nicht so spannend ist wie ein Interview. Und daher wünsche ich jetzt allen anderen viel Spaß mit dem Interview oder Gespräch mit Willem zu seinem Namibia Roadbook Camp. Und für alle, die sagen, nee, bitte auf Deutsch, da gibt es die ganzen Infos dann kompakt am Ende der Aufnahme. Ja, hallo zusammen und herzlich willkommen zum Rally Talk. Das geht hier jetzt schon wieder los und zwar starten wir heute in Richtung Namibia. Und dazu habe ich mir einen Gast eingeladen und da wechseln wir jetzt auch gleich in Englisch und es gibt noch ein bisschen Infos zu meinem Trip nach Südafrika zum Rallyfahren dazu. Und da würde ich sagen, Willem, hello, welcome, very, very nice to have you back at the Rally Talk podcast. Man, so good to hear you.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you, man. It's good to hear you. I'm missing you. It's really good to have you over in South Africa at the Karoo Roadbook Camp.
Yeah, man. And what that was this for adventure? I just can only one more thank you for organizing all that stuff. I know you've putting lots of work in it, and it was so amazing to be there. And yeah, it's still. I am the a part of the road books are hanging in my office at the wall just for a for a memory. So it's yeah.
No, it's only my pleasure. You know, it is so wonderful to see so many people there this year that was doing it for the first time, and that growth and that experience over. I mean, it's even only 3 days, but you know, to see people arrive there. And then leave with the confidence and with the experience of, okay, I actually did this thing. You know, that's what makes me happy. So it was really, really great to have you there as well as part of that experience and to share a braai
yeah,
and have some
lekker,
good
man.
Times.
So, yeah, for everyone who's not knowing or have no clue what we are talking about, maybe Willem, you can give us an idea what is the Karoo Roadbook Camp like or what is it for, and then I will add some of my thoughts and feelings and yeah.
Definitely, yeah. I'm so sorry I can't speak to you guys in German, so I'll try and try the English. But basically, the idea of the Karoo Roadbook Camp or the concept of the Karoo Roadbook Camp is that we wanted to create a space for people to learn how to navigate and to feel what rally is like without the stress or the budget of having to go to a race. That came from the fact that, you know, when I started out with rally, I couldn't find anywhere to learn. I couldn't find any information. And it was basically a situation of I had to enter a rally. And then when I got there, you know, you kind of have no idea what's going on. And it takes a while to get into it. So I wanted to create a space or a scenario where people could come, have fun, but also be challenged and learn how the navigation idea of it works. So that was the concept that it has grown in, you know, we've had some people that did their first roadbooks in the Karoo Roadbook Camp and then went on to do Dakar. So, you know, it's seeing that progression of people. Like I always say that I'm not a teacher. I don't see myself as a teacher. I'm not a professional racer. But I like to create a scenario for people to learn learn and for people to socialize and also learn from each other. I think that's one of the really cool things of the Karoo Road Bootcamp is it actually is very informal. There's no formal structure, but everybody helps each other out, whether you're a veteran of rally racing or whether you're starting out. Everybody helps each other and works together to create a great experience.
Yeah, man. And so that's a perfect description for what I was honored to discover. I can't say it in another way. So, you know, for me, I was quite excited because I already mentioned it to you. My preparation in Germany went the worst way. So I wasn't riding. I wasn't on a bike. I think nearly a year. I haven't been riding a bike properly. So totally out of training and also with doing sports. So that didn't work out. And then I got there. I had no clue what was going on. So maybe they're all the pro guys and I'm just kind of suck. And or what's going on at least. And for me, there were a few lessons to learn. But first things first, the camaraderie and the welcome. I mean, wow, that was from the first beginning. It was just there. It was super amazing.
Mm-hmm. But you certainly didn't suck. I think I'm sure you saw that. I mean, even with not training for a year, you did very well. So
yeah.
I'm sure that that goes to show that, you know, it wasn't as bad as you thought it was going to be, hopefully.
No, totally. It was much better. And what you mentioned at the beginning, so that you tried, or the idea was to give you the feeling what it's really like, and to do it in 3 days. And for me, you totally nailed it. Because on a first step, all the rally game for me is the camaraderie. Of racing, it's if you race, you it's about time and it's about competition, but it's not like these tough elbow and if you go on the ground then I just hit a throttle and go. No, we help each other, we take care of each other, we want to have a good time, we will all have to arrive safe in the bivouac and all the racing and stuff that is in the next step taken. Maybe not, or even the pros are stopping if someone crashes. So, and that's the camaraderie and the super warm welcome on the one hand. And even for me, I was the only foreign guy there from Germany in the middle of Africa and South Africa and Maritzburg. And I think there are not many tourists coming to Maritzburg.
No, for us it was like having a celebrity.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was super cool, so nice everyone. And then we got the whole rally feeling there for me, because it was exhausting for me. It was terrain I've never been ridden, and I've been telling people around here in Germany, if I had seen everything I have to go and ride there, maybe I would have taken the decision or made the call that I'm not going to ride it because I would, it's too hard. It's I can't do it. And and that's the thing. I mean, all the stories from rally we love is to hear if someone really is reaching much more or achieving much more what the person ever could thought, or he's going through the tough times. I mean, that's the crazy decision stories only Dakar can ride, we say, and we love to tell and share. And I mean, it was not Dakar and it was only 3 days racing, but for me it was a bit like that. So I totally discovered to go much more further than I expected from myself, and that was a really, really cool experience. I had to deal with my mind playing tricks on me, you know, being on 10 hours on the bike at the second stage. Most of the day I was alone on my own in these super wide spaces, which I've never been ridden before. These all were, man, this was so crazy experience. And we had the chilly mornings. It was like freezing in the morning and you've been on a bike the first hour, everything was cold and then it's getting hot. And so it was all like, it was like a Dakar in a nutshell for me, and it was an amazing experience, and I loved it. So I'm addicted now for Rally.
and
I was afraid in the beginning, maybe I go there. I've never ridden the road book, and maybe I'm thinking about a first 30Ks. I don't like it at all. I want to go back to road riding, but it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's one of the cool things of why we do the camp is so that people can get that feeling. And just like you say, you know, we do have people that come and do it and they say, this is not for me. I don't like this. I like adventure riding or road riding, and they go back and do it. So I think that is the beauty of the scenario, is that you know, it creates a scenario where you can see and taste it without having to pay, you know, thousands of euros to go and enter a race. You can do it on a low budget and see whether you like it. And now, as you say, the bug is bitten, and I can tell you very few people are on the opposite side where they don't like it. But, you know, now that you know, now you have the surety in your heart and in your mind that, okay, I like this. This is what I want to pursue. And then, like you said earlier, it, you know, it becomes like a drug. Part of what we do is, you know, we kind of do throw you guys into the deep end as far as the difficulty of the riding is concerned. And to me, that is by design, because, you know, the only way you learn is through when things are difficult. But we make it so that, as you said, it's not undoable. And the beauty for me of that is, you know, those are the scenarios where you get stories to tell. You know, nobody has a story to tell if everything goes well. But there's now a famous video of you pulling your bike up the mountain.
Man.
And you know, those are the memories, you know. And I think that was one section of an entire day, but you don't remember. You remember, but it's a question of the memorable part, the part that sticks out.
Yeah.
Was that time where you really struggled. So we try and balance making memories with the difficulty, if that makes sense. I think that creating an intense situation that's not too difficult is actually, we try to get that balance, and it's really good to hear from your side that you feel that was achieved and that was your experience. So that's exactly what we go for.
And it was also interesting about learning what about this rhythm, because you hear a lot of the rally drivers and they talk about the rhythm, and if you've never done it before, then you have no clue what they mean. But for me, it was interesting to learn that I was always thinking about rhythm is about riding the bike and road book. But now I discovered for myself that it is much more. It starts with your breakfast. So it was like, and I was really, really thankful to have some experienced guys, or mainly Gerrit, who was taking so super nice care of me and showing me all the tricks around, because he is also a lot of experience. So it starts with the breakfast, packing your stuff, how you prepare your gear before you go to bed and all.
Exactly.
And I mean, we had a very nice time. We had our nice evenings, having a cold beer at the fire and so on. So it was quite much more relaxed, as you mentioned, like a serious race. But I also went through all this rhythm stuff, preparing my kit, going to the driver's meeting, checking your road book, and I've been on paper, so I had to mark my road book every night. And so now I understand that the rhythm is about the whole day, and that's what it makes so nice, because everything is like in a flow. But and that was super cool to expect for me. So it was really nice. Yeah.
Honestly, that rhythm, and I'm sure that's something that Gerrit would have kind of given through to you, but it's that rhythm is what makes or breaks your race. You know, it's almost like having a type of discipline, and it's a hierarchy of what's important. You know, you can only have a beer by the fire if your cake is done, if your water is filled up, if your road book is marked. So there's always and the difference is, at a race, the stakes and the speed is so high that you need to do everything, and then there's no time to have a beer. But it it's still the idea of the camp is still to teach you, as you said. I mean, it's a beautiful analogy is that it's a rhythm, and you know, if you don't respect the rhythm of the rally, you're not gonna enjoy it, or you're not gonna do well,
Yeah.
because you're gonna run around trying to load your road book at 6 in the morning, or you're going to forget to pack snacks, and then you're gonna get tired the next day, or whatever. And this is a safe environment to make those mistakes and to
Yeah.
learn.
Yeah.
Like you say, you were lucky that you had good people like pointing you in the right direction.
Yeah.
But if you were there completely on your own without anybody, the idea would be to allow you to make those mistakes, so that because that's how you learn, right? That's the best way to learn, is to actually make the mistakes. Hello. Chris, are you there?
Willem, sorry, just give me a second. I'll be back in a second.
No stress, no stress.
Oh man, sorry, this poor Amazon guy cried for help.
No worries, is he okay?
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so but Willem, we are not here for, and I mean I could talk for hours about this amazing experience, but to sum it up, your organization and your team, that was super cool, and I can only recommend everyone to experience some of the rally stuff, and there is a chance if you guys are interested now to go and ride with Willem and to discover some kind of rally stuff and not in South Africa. So Willem, what's on the menu? So just let us know what you can offer and what the guys can expect and to make a little spoiler, I am super jealous. And if I wouldn't have to deal with some wedding stuff, I would be in there, man.
You must be careful. That's dangerous territory.
Yes.
Listen,
Don't
thank
tell
you so
anyone I said
much.
that.
Chris, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to chat about the Namibia thing a little bit. I will give you a little bit of background of why we decided to do the Namibia Roadbook Camp, or at least bring it on board. And I think, before I do that, the first thing I want to tell your listeners and people that are listening is that riding a roadbook is not a prerequisite of this event. So, you know, it's not like the Karoo Roadbook Camp where you have to do it on a roadbook. If you want to just experience the dunes of Walvis Bay and the surrounding area, you can still come and basically, you will learn so much, because the focus of this camp is dunes and navigation. So if you don't want to do a road book, which I can promise you after 2 days you're going to want to, but if you just want to come and ride the dunes, that's also an option. So I just want to start off with saying
Yeah,
that.
that's a good point,
But
yeah.
yeah, so because a lot of times people hear road book and they're like, oh, I have no experience, and then you know they kind of just shut off. So, you know,
Yeah.
you
But
don't
I can tell
have
you
to.
just buy the Dakar 2018 game for your computer, PlayStation, whatever. Play around a little bit and then fly to Africa and write roadbook. So in my case it
It
totally worked out. So no worries about
worked.
that
Yeah.
one.
So yeah, so the reason we brought the Namibia Roadbook Camp online, other than the fact that it is just some of the most amazing terrain you will ever ride a bike on, is that I do a lot of international races, and I kind of first started it for me, and then I noticed that other people struggle with it as well, and the struggle is that dunes are intimidating. Sand is intimidating. If you listen to any adventure rider, they'll tell you, "Ooh, sand, sand, sand." That's my weak point. And to go onto a international race and then be confronted with massive dunes that's 7, 8 stories high, the terror that you feel when you're racing and you look at that, and you're like, "Man, I have to get over there." And not having the skill set to do that, that's where the intimidation comes from. Because you don't know how to attack or solve the problem. And the reason I decided to do the Namibia Roadbook Camp was simply because of the fact that I wanted to have the tools to deal with any dune that is in my way. So it started as a personal venture, and then I realized, if you go and look at all of the big sand rallies, the Sonora Rally, the Rally de Maroc, Merzouga, MDC, all of those things, if you go and look at the attrition rate, the rate of which people fall out in the rally, it skyrockets exponentially on the days that you enter the dunes. So what I saw was that, people basically lose their opportunity or throw away their race the moment you go into the dunes, and it's mainly because of not knowing and understanding how to ride it. Dunes are and sand are extremely dangerous, but they're extremely fun at the same time. And so we wanted to create a space where we demystify the sand and the dune riding, and we make people understand that it's not so intimidating, and that if you have the right tools, you can conquer the sand. It's obviously a learning experience. Dunes in Saudi are different to dunes in Abu Dhabi, which are different to dunes in Mexico, which will be different to the dunes in Namibia. But the concept of how to deal with them, that's what we're focusing on. So the camp is divided effectively. It's 5 days now. That's another thing that, if you go and do a big race somewhere other than Dakar, you will only spend 2.5, maybe 3 days if you're lucky in the dunes during the race. The rest of the time you're going to be on hard pack or in riverbeds or whatever it is, but you're not going to be riding in dunes for 5 days. So a big pulling force, or a big reason that the Namibia Roadbook Camp is so special, is that we have 5 days of just sand and dune riding. And that's kind of what you need to become proficient in it, because to be honest, the first day you get into those dunes, you feel like you cannot ride a bike. When I went there the first time, and I started to kind of get it under control, the guy that was with me, which will also be with us during the camp, Durky, I eventually said to him, "Listen, I know that it looks to you like I can't ride a bike. I know that I look absolutely hopeless, but I promise you I can ride a bike. I just don't know what's going on. This is just so difficult." And by the end of the week, it wasn't difficult anymore. It was like, okay, now I can stick with it. And it was all about knowing and understanding how to do it. So because of that, before you can navigate in the sand, you first have to ride the sand. So We start off with 2 days of just riding the dunes and doing exercises. You know, the biggest challenge that people have is how to crest dunes, so how not to fly over the dune. So you don't want to go too fast, but you also don't want to go too slow.
That's the
We
biggest point
focus.
of safety when you're doing dune. So I've never ridden it, but I've done it by myself, but I've heard a lot about it. So it's always getting over the crest and too far, and then there's nothing behind and you crash. So that's a big safety point to do this properly, the technique.
Exactly. And then we focus a lot on energy conservation in the sense of, you know, you're going to put your bike down. And, you know, the one thing that I've learned is that once you've put your bike down in the dunes, it's over, in the sense of you start expending way too much energy and then you get tired. So the key of the first 2 days is, how can I not waste energy? What do I do when my bike cannot get up the dune? How do I deal with it in the most energy efficient way so that I don't get tired and so that I'm not intimidated? When I get up the dune and I see I'm not going to make it, what's my options? Do I turn around? Do I keep on trying? When do I decide to quit? Like, when do I decide to abandon the climb without being stuck? Because the worst thing you can do is try and get up the dune, get stuck, and then fall over, and then you roll down the dune and your bike is halfway up the dune.
Oh man,
So, you know, that kind of thing. So it's all, and it's not, again, it's very much like the Karoo Road Bootcamp, where it's not formal training. It's not like you have to do this and that. We go out as a group of five or six riders and we just ride together and we look at the way that you ride. And like I say, I am not an instructor. Durky has ridden, he's lived there his whole life. He grew up in the dunes and he's raced professionally in South Africa and America. He's extremely good at, you know, helping people understand how to ride the dunes. So, you know, at no point is it like, oh, it's a classroom and you have to do this and you have to do that. We go out and we ride and then we talk about it. And that's one of the nice things, because you get the opportunity to say that, oh man, I'm struggling with this, or I want to learn this. Or last year we had a guy there, Nick from Spain. You know, he wanted to jump. You wanted to learn how to jump a dune. And, you know, that's not really something that's in the, let's call it, syllabus or in the plan. But he could say that, oh yeah, I've always wanted to jump a dune, you know. And that's like, okay, yeah, let's do it in a safe way. And, you know, so it's like one of those things where we create the scenario to make yourself better, but also to learn. And so that's the first 2 days. We just ride. In the sand, in the dunes, we learn how to also go over down a dune at speed, all of that stuff. And then we
I
step it
don't
up.
want to interrupt you, but you mentioned the
No,
point with the
please.
energy efficient stuff, and that's one thing I discovered at the Karoo Road Bootcamp as well. So I learned so much about my body, how to maintain my body during the day. When do I need to eat? What do I need to eat? What works for me? So and that's a very individual thing, I guess. So for the one guy, power jail, whatever works. For the other guy, they stick to biltong and salami sticks, and that works for them. So
I'm that
I discovered that I'm kind of a mixture. But
Okay.
yeah, so but it's really interesting, and so I can only imagine. So if even if you do this, the Radix camp, and then you're back in Europe and doing maybe more the adventure riding stuff, but you're like doing more the advanced stuff like the Trans-Euro Trail or something like that, you have also long days in the saddle. And so knowing to how to maintain your body and then get a feeling of where's my energy level and how to I have to adjust to it, that's a very, very good thing and a very important thing you normally don't think about if you're going riding on a normal trip. So that's a cool lesson to
Exactly.
learn.
Definitely, yeah. I cannot agree more, because at the end of the day, you know, it makes the ride safer, but it also makes the ride more enjoyable.
Yeah. So.
So yeah, so jumping back, now we've done 2 days of just dune riding and exploration, and hopefully by that time, you are more proficient at the dunes, and now you can start looking at how to navigate in the dunes, which now you've navigated on a road book. I can promise you, once you go into the dunes, the navigation changes completely, because then we're focusing on the Dakar style, really difficult navigation where you ride on a cap heading. And what happens there is, I'm sure your listeners would know and understand that a cap heading is effectively a compass heading, and you're going to get a cap of, let's say, for instance, 85 degrees through a dune field for 5 kilometers. Now, that 5 kilometers is a straight line to a point, and it's impossible sometimes in the dunes to carry a straight line. In Dakar, you'll see it with the top riders; they do it, the pros, as far as if you can pick a line and you can stick to it. But the more difficult the terrain, the harder it becomes to stick on that line. So what happens is that your 5 kilometers on that heading becomes 5.5 or 5.6 kilometers, and now, because there's no reference points in the dunes, it's all just sand, you have no idea where you are. You're like, okay, I should be turning at this point, but my waypoint isn't opening up. Why is it not opening up? And that's where the training comes in, is to say, okay, when I think I'm lost, what do I do in the desert when there's no reference points? I can't go back. It's too dangerous, and I don't know where to go because I'm going to crash into people coming. And even if I go back, I'm just going back to a point without a reference, so there's no point. I need to find this specific waypoint where I'm now, and I think I'm here. So then we deal with the more advanced stuff, which is like, creating a grid system to pick up the waypoint, or in most cases, 90% of the time, the rider stops short of the waypoint. So they get to the distance and they think, okay, this is where the waypoint is, and they don't really account for the extra distance that they rode. So if you just ride 500 meters further, then
There
the
would be,
waypoint will be there.
and then you've got a kind of opening radius from 200 meters, then maybe it's just another 100 to go, and the waypoint would open up. So yeah, but it can
Yep,
drive you
that's
crazy. Oh
exactly.
man, that sounds so
So
I
that
would
is,
love
and
to
so we
go there,
focus on that.
man.
We focus on that, and we also actually make the waypoint radii very small, exactly for that reason. To give you an idea, the standard WPM, the masked waypoint radii on Dakar, is 800 meters. So what we do is, because it's a training exercise, we halve that and we make it 400
Oh,
meters.
wow. Yeah.
And to find a 400 meter waypoint on 5 kilometer cap run in the dunes, I can promise you, is difficult. It's
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
but you know how the good thing is, the harder it is, the better you feel when that waypoint opens. You get such a rush of endorphins when the waypoint opens, and you're like, man, okay, I've got this. I'm at the right place.
I mean, even if you just for the guys, just to give them idea, if you go out for hiking and you take only a map and a compass with you, so no GPS, no Google Maps, nothing, and then just navigate and then try to hit a point exactly by a compass course. So that's not that easy, even if you're walking through smooth terrains and you have a little bit of forest or a small lake you have to cross there, and then you're off the track.
Exactly.
And this in the dunes with no reference on the bike, exhausted. So that's what makes the whole story much more interesting, much more intense.
Definitely. And that's the thing that we want. I mean, if you want to come just for the riding experience, you're going to be a better rider. If you're coming for the navigation experience, we want you to leave there knowing in your heart that when I go to a big international rally, I'm not going to find anything that's going to intimidate me, because I've done the most difficult part here in Namibia. So that it's We, I don't know if you guys have rugby in Germany. I don't think so,
No.
but you know, you could we can equate it to football or to soccer. You know, there's this famous story where in the rugby players, or let's say the football players, what they did is they train. They don't cut the grass on the pitch, so they make the grass very thick and very high. So it makes it very, very difficult to play, and it kind of keeps you down,
Ah,
and it
yeah.
makes you tired. And then when they go and play a game on a normal soccer pitch, you know, it's easy for them because they train in more difficult circumstances. And that's exactly what we are trying to do with the Roadbook Camp by making the navigation harder, because you know that. If you can find a 400-meter radius waypoint in the dunes, an 800-meter radius is nothing. You know, it's like you can do it with your eyes closed. So that's the aim. You know, that's what we're going for.
So
But
that's
that
super
is,
cool.
yeah, and that is, but that is. So imagine that in the setting of on your side, on your left side or right side, depending on which side on the dunes, you actually have the Atlantic Ocean. So you have this like really nice cool breeze coming off the ocean, and then you just have a dune field, which is the Namib Desert, that just stretches out for hundreds of kilometers
No,
into the
man.
distance, you know. And it is really, without a doubt, one of the best places I've ever ridden a bike. And the quality of the dunes, the quality of the sand is so good. And so when you get it, when everything clips into place or falls into place, and you've in the time you spend on the bike comes to fruition, it is an amazing feeling, because then you get that feeling of surfing the dunes and understanding how it works. So we really focus on that. And you know, we're not going too hard. It's 5 days, but especially in Walvis Bay, you have the wind come up most afternoons, not every afternoon. So the plan that we have, or the way that the course would look like, is that, you know, we'll go out in the mornings and we'll ride. And then in the afternoons, what we'll do is we'll sit down and we'll discuss the day's riding, because it gets so bad. I mean, one of the videos I posted, we were in a windstorm where you can't even see the guy ahead of you. So because the wind comes up in the afternoons, we'll most probably focus on theory, or at least discussions in the afternoons. And one of the things we do is we'll take your GPX track of the roadbook, and then, you know, we'll discuss it. We'll say, like, listen, you can see here, this is where you went wrong, or it's clear that you lean to the left, which means when you lost, rather turn right instead of left, because it's clear we can see every time you lost, you actually go too much left instead of too much right.
So that's
So
super interesting. And by the way, all the information, so the link with more information for the Namibia camp, the link to the YouTube playlist where you can see what to expect. It's all in the show notes there, so just click on it, enjoy, and get your appetizer there.
Yeah, and if you're speaking about appetite, you know, the food in Namibia is amazing. For me, it's one of the highlights of going there. So in Walvis and Swakopmund, you know, there's really good restaurants, really good
And
food,
that's
and
another point what I can tell you guys out there. So since I've met Willem in person in South Africa, I can promise you that you will discover a side from Namibia, from the landscape, from the people you meet, from food, from everything, you won't be able to discover as a normal tourist. So it's a 100% super nice adventure and experience, and it's 100% authentic. So it's just like it is what it is. I don't know, where do the people stay? You camp there?
So what we were going to do, or what we are going to do, is there's a place in Walvis that we'll all stay together. So it's not necessarily one house, it's units with multiple rooms in it. So, we will probably rent, depending on how many people we are, we'll rent a few units, and then we'll all stay together, which will make it more
Yeah.
fun. And
Yeah,
I
super
think that's
nice.
something that's important as well, is that and the way that you described it, Chris, is that, for us, it's not a commercial venture or a tourism venture. It's all it is, essentially, if you break it down to the basics of it, is it's a group of friends that go out to ride motorbike.
Yeah.
And that's what we want to do, because that's what we do.
Yeah.
It's not a corporate commercial venture. It's more something of saying, like, look, this does cost money, so we have to cover our bases. But it's, for us, it's about the experience,
Yeah.
not the commercial side of it.
Yeah, I mean that's the way we are getting along together, and all the other guys around there. It's just about sharing the passions, making new friends. And yeah, so the people don't have to worry ab about accommodation, and so maybe you can give them some info about the bikes b because you don't have to bring your own bike to Namibia.
No, not at all. So I think that's a really, really good point, is that Durky from Untamed Adventures has got the brand new 2023 KTM 500s. I have ridden them personally. It is a great choice of bike for the dunes. So part of the cost of the roadbook camp is the option to rent a bike. Obviously, some South Africans or people that live there will bring their own bikes. There is a limited amount of them available, obviously, but the bike you would ride if you rent a bike is a new 500, so it's not an old bike that you have to worry about. And then we equip it with digital roadbooks, and that makes it, honestly, the digital roadbook revolution is what is making it possible to do this, because without waypoints opening and without waypoint validation, you cannot really ride effectively in the dunes. I mean, you can ride, you can have the experience, but to practice navigation in the dunes, you have to have a system such as what we're using, similar to ERTF or Stella, that will open up waypoints so that you can get confirmation. And that is why the Namibia Roadbook Camp is only happening now, is because for the first time ever, we have the technology to do it. So your bikes, new 23 500s KTMs, and
And guys, just to hook
digital
in,
roadbooks.
because you don't have to be afraid of the 500. Because so in Germany it's just like, oh, 500, it's just a bike that's a fire breathing dragon who wants to eat you alive. But the new, I've talked to a lot of guys riding them, but the new bikes with fuel injection, they are really nice to ride. They have lots of power, but riding in the sand and with the dunes, that's what you need, some power.
Exactly.
And
It's a,
they
it
are
has
really
a
good to handle, so you don't have to worry about getting on a 500.
definitely. I think the idea of a 500 being a beast, that comes from the 90s, probably, when the technology wasn't there. And the new 500s, I cannot speak for the 2024s, but the previous generation, or the new generation 500s, their power curve or their power yield is some of the best that's ever been made in a bike. It is so good and so smooth. We did, or I did, with KTM in South Africa, we did a year with KTM Cape Town, where we wanted to prove that the KTM 500 is the ultimate all-round bike. And I entered, I've never been an off-road racer. And we entered as a team the Western Cape Off-Road Series. So
Oh, nice.
it's a regional series of, I think, 7 or 8 races. back then, and everybody was on 350s, on 500s, sorry, on 350s, 250s. There was a few 450s, but no 500s. And so I entered the championship on a 500, in the social class, not the professional class, just because I didn't want all that stress. But then in the same year that I entered that, we did three adventure tours with big bikes, 800s and 1200s, and all of these trips were longer than 3,000
Oh, wow,
kilometers,
yeah.
and then we did rally racing. And the key of the year, the experiment was to do everything on the same bike.
Yeah.
And I was really apprehensive about racing a 500 in tight off-road conditions. But at the end of the year, we won the championship with that bike.
Amazing.
And I worked harder than I would have on a 350 racing it, but it was never dangerous. It never was like, oh, this bike is too big. The power curve on it is absolutely insane. So, we did that. We had the championship for the off-road racing. We did three big adventure rides where, there were 790s as well and stuff. And definitely it wasn't as comfortable as a 1200 GS, but we did it. We did this exactly the same route, and we had just as much fun. And in fact, the 500 as a light adventure bike, you can go so many more rugged places than a big adventure bike that,
Yeah.
I've become a convert. I'd rather take a small adventure bike on a
Yeah.
more difficult route than a big adventure bike. And then we did rallies with it. So, there's no reason for anybody to be scared of a
Yeah,
500. It is a phenomenal bike.
that's a very, very valid point. Oh man, so I think we well, at least for me, I would just but yeah, I mentioned it earlier, so I'm addicted anyway, so I'm not the benchmark, but so if we maybe catch the one or the other out there listening to this, and he's now excited and say, okay, I need to do this, and I totally recommend you guys to do it. So what's the way they can get in touch with you? So what are will be the best steps? What things need to be organized?
I think we don't have much time until the middle of July. We're doing it the camp is 24 to 28 July. It is low key, and that's why it's not a formal event with a big sign up and stuff. So I would say that the best way to do it is that if somebody is interested, they're going to have the trip of a lifetime, and it is going to be the best riding that they will do pretty much in their life. And the easiest way to do that is just to directly message me, either on Instagram or Facebook, or email me. And then I can kind of send them the details. We don't have a big professional website and a sign up sheet and stuff, just because we're not planning to be 50 people. We'll probably be a few people, a small select group of guys, and that also helps to make it more intimate. A lot of people's like, oh, where's the website and this and that, and we're like, it's not that kind of event. It's more about a personal touch. So yeah, if anybody's interested, please just drop me a message. And we help with everything. It's a situation where, I mean, Chris, you've experienced it, but we'll help with telling you where to fly to, what's the best flights. We'll come if you fly to Windhoek and you don't fly all the way to Walvis, we'll arrange to get you collected in Windhoek. We have some guys already flying into Windhoek, so we'll probably rent a bus, or not a bus, but a minibus, and all drive together. So yeah, it's something that we'll figure out before the time, once we know who's coming, but we'll help along the way. So I think a private message is the easiest way to do
Perfect.
that.
And so if anyone now is a little bit worried, so if I can help you guys with translation or putting you in contact, and so maybe if you're not sure about anything, you can also contact me and I will bring you directly in contact with Willem or do the translation or however I can help. So yeah, just there are no reasons to don't go for it. So
yeah, and I think a very valid point, which is something that I didn't mention, but I assume most of your listeners know this, is that Namibia used to be a German colony or a German protectorate. So people in Namibia, most of the people in Namibia actually speaks German. Yeah. And that is nice. It's Namibian German, but it's still German. So that's something that, you know, they don't have to be worried or intimidated about.
Yeah. So I'm still working on my Afrikaans skills. So for my next trip, but yeah, that's mm-hmm. the thing what helps.
Great. Well, Chris, thank you so very much for your time and for giving us this platform. Thanks for everything that you do for the sport.
Pleasure is mine, Willem. Pleasure is mine, yeah. And I hope we will be riding again together at least next year, man.
Soon. Next year we'll be in South Africa or Mexico. Definitely we'll see you on one of those places for sure. Yeah. I know that.
All right. So, Willem, just thank you for being here. And for sure, that won't be the last time you'll be our guest at the Rally Talk podcast. There are lots of another interesting topics to discuss. But for now, thank you very much. And mm-hmm. have a very good time. And I wish everyone so much fun in Namibia. And just please crack a dune for me with you guys. And have a cold one.
We'll have a beer on you, Chris. Yeah, for sure. I'll send you a picture.
please. All right, Willem. So we talk
great.
Soon.
And, thank you so much.
Yeah, you guys out there, just check all the information. It's all in the show notes. And feel free to contact Willem or me and then go for the adventure.
Great. I think you guys say choose. Cheers.
Cheers.
In German. Yeah, cheers. Cheers, Chris.
Perfect.
Thank you very much and have a great day that side.
Thank you. Ja, wie versprochen, hier jetzt die Zusammenfassung auf Deutsch. Ich versuche das einmal kompakt, alle Informationen hier reinzupacken. Ich war ja in Südafrika bei Willem auf dem Karoo Roadbook Camp und hatte da eine wahnsinnig coole Erfahrung. Man könnte so sagen, Decker in a nutshell, und habe in diesen 3 Tagen eigentlich für mich alles erfahren, alles mitgenommen, was Rallye ausmacht. Das ganze Abenteuer mit früh aufstehen, morgens in der Kälte starten, lange Tage auf dem Bike und so weiter. Und war von dieser Erfahrung für mich total begeistert. Wer dazu gerne mehr hören möchte, dem empfehle ich einfach mal beim Bearcast reinzugucken. Da habe ich mit dem Howie eine feine Aufnahme gemacht darüber und hier mein Rallye-Erlebnis geteilt. Dadurch, dass ich jetzt Willem auch persönlich kenne und weiß, hey, seine Events sind echt cool, mit viel Liebe zum Detail geplant und ihr seid da wirklich in den allerbesten Händen, habe ich gesagt, Mensch, lass uns mal deine Namibia-Tour ein bisschen promoten. Namibia, das heißt auf jeden Fall Dünen und darum geht es auch in dem Namibia Roadbook Camp bei Willem in erster Linie. Es geht um das Fahren, das Befahren von Dünen mit dem Motorrad. Das Ganze ist eben in Namibia und mit einem lokalen Anbieter, Untamed Adventure, ist man da wirklich in den besten Händen, kann man schon wieder sagen. Ihr werdet da im Juli die krassesten Dünen in Namibia, eine absolut abgeschiedene Landschaft erkunden. Untergebracht ist man in einem festen Haus, das ist so eine Ferienhaussiedlung. Also ihr müsst dann nicht campen, man kann da abends auch dann gut entspannen. Insgesamt sind das 5 Fahrtage und Verpflegung ist dabei im Camp natürlich. Also werdet ihr mit Frühstück und Abendessen bestens da versorgt. Das Hauptziel liegt tatsächlich daran, zum einen generell, wie fahre ich im Sand und wie fahre ich speziell Dünen, weil das ist natürlich ein riesen Thema. Und für alle, die Richtung Wüstenrallye denken, ist das ein ganz besonderer Punkt, denn das Befahren von Dünen, da scheitern eben ganz viele dran. Da gibt es viel, was man falsch machen kann und dann kostet das natürlich wahnsinnig viel Kraft und gerade so das Energiemanagement, also die eigenen körperlichen Ressourcen klug und sinnvoll einzusetzen oder eben auch die richtige Fahrtechnik zu haben, um Hindernisse, Gelände und so zu überwinden, ist für so eine Rallye, aber vielleicht auch für die lange große Abenteuerreise, wo es so ein bisschen mehr in den Offroad-Bereich geht, wo man vielleicht auch alleine unterwegs ist, ist das natürlich sehr, sehr hilfreich. Das Ganze wird also ablaufen, man kommt ganz entspannt am Wochenende an, dann hat man unter der Woche eben diese 5 Fahrtage und dann geht es auch schon wieder nach Hause. Ihr braucht kein eigenes Bike vor Ort haben oder so mitbringen. Das ist natürlich möglich, dass ihr mit dem eigenen Motorrad fahrt, wenn ihr das nach Namibia bekommt oder da vielleicht gerade eh schon hin auf dem Weg seid. Aber ihr habt auch die Möglichkeit, mit nagelneuen, also den aktuellen KTM 500 EXC zu fahren. Da nochmal ganz wichtig, das sind nicht mehr solche unkontrollierbaren Monster wie zu Vergaserzeiten, sondern mit Einspritzung und so. Die sind wirklich gut zum Fahren und hey, ihr seid in der Wüste und fahrt Dünen. Das heißt ja Platz ohne Ende und könnt die Power auch gut brauchen. Also es gibt die Option auf Leihmotorräder. Die werden dann mit einem Roadbook-Tablet, also mit so einem digitalen Rallye-Tablet ausgestattet. Denn vom Ablauf her selber, die ersten 2 Tage geht es nur rein um die Fahrtechnik. Also überhaupt noch nicht um Navigation. Man ist da in kleinen Gruppen unterwegs. Generell ist die Gruppe nicht so groß. Das werden irgendwo so zwischen 6 und 12 Leuten maximal sein. Und man übt die ersten 2 Tage wirklich nur, wie fahre ich so eine Düne? Wie breche ich ab, wenn ich merke, die Geschwindigkeit geht mir aus? Wie mache ich das, dass ich nicht oben über den Dünenkamm drüber fahre und dann eventuell auf der anderen Seite einfach ein paar Meter abstürze? Also das Thema Sicherheit natürlich auch ganz, ganz wichtig. Was mache ich, wenn ich stecken bleibe und so? Also das Thema effizient fahren, effizient das Motorrad, effizient den eigenen Körper einsetzen in der Düne natürlich ganz, ganz wichtig. Und es ist dann geplant, eben immer die Vormittage zum Fahren zu nutzen und dann, wenn es richtig heiß wird, dann eher wieder im Camp zurück zu sein. Da wird das Ganze dann entsprechend analysiert, besprochen. Also was hat man über den Tag gelernt, Videoanalysen angeguckt, sodass man da wirklich den maximalen Input einfach auch mitbekommt und einen sehr, sehr krassen Trainingseffekt hinbekommt. Ab Tag 3 ist dann optional noch die Möglichkeit, das Ganze mit Navigation zu kombinieren. Also man kann, wie gesagt, man muss nicht, wenn ihr sagt, hey, ich will einfach nur Dünen fahren und ich möchte bitte schön mit einem GPS-Track da unterwegs sein, dann könnt ihr auch 5 Tage lang GPS-Track fahren, könnt da Spaß haben und einfach die Dünen und Namibia genießen. Wenn ihr aber sagt, dieses Rallye-Feeling und so, das interessiert mich schon, dann habt ihr ab Tag 3 die Option, dann mit einem Roadbook in den Dünen zu arbeiten. Und das ist natürlich nochmal ganz speziell, denn jetzt auch in der Karoo-Gegend, da sind wir hauptsächlich auf Pisten gefahren, da gab es ganz, ganz viele Orientierungspunkte. Also dann kam da ein Tor, da war ein Baum vermerkt, da war ein Haus vermerkt und so. Und das alles fällt ja weg in den Dünen. Das heißt, man navigiert nur nach Kompasskurs, also Kap, dass man eine Kompassrichtung hat, irgendwie, keine Ahnung, 243 Grad für 10 Kilometer. Diese 10 Kilometer, die wird man aber nie 100% auf dem exakten Kompasskurs fahren können. Und dann geht es ja darum, den Wegpunkt zu treffen, um das auch nochmal zu erklären. Diese Wegpunkte, die haben einen Eröffnungsradius, also zum Beispiel, keine Ahnung, man sagt, na, der Wegpunkt hat einen Eröffnungsradius von 1000 Metern, also 1 Kilometer. Sobald ich in diesen 1000 Meter Radius um den Wegpunkt einfahre, geht in meinem GPS eine Navigationsmeldung auf, wo dann so ein Pfeil ist und der führt mich dann zu diesem Wegpunkt. Und dann weiß ich wieder genau, wenn mein GPS mir anzeigt, okay, check, den Wegpunkt hast du erwischt, okay, jetzt bin ich richtig und kann von da aus dann zum nächsten Wegpunkt navigieren. 1000 Meter Radius, das hört sich erstmal groß an. Willem hat auch erzählt, dass sie die Radien für dieses Training nochmal deutlich kleiner gemacht haben, als es bei den tatsächlichen Rallyes ist. Also so, dass man wirklich das Maximum an Training daraus mitnehmen kann für die Navigation. Denn in der Wüste, da fallen ja natürlich unsere ganzen Fixpunkte weg. Da stehen keine Bäume, da stehen auch keine Häuser. Da habt ihr keine Fahrwege, da habt ihr keine Tore oder sonstiges, an denen man sich so entlanghangeln und orientieren kann. Das heißt wirklich nur, ich fahre nach diesem Kap und auch dann Strategien. Ich müsste jetzt eigentlich an meinem Wegpunkt sein, aber nicht mal der Eröffnungsradius ist aufgegangen. Auf so einem Track oder einer Farmroad oder so kann ich ja einfach dann zurückfahren bis zu der nächsten Stelle und weiß, okay, hier habe ich wieder meine Orientierungsmarke, da war irgendein markanter Baum, der war auch im Roadbook, da bin ich auf jeden Fall sicher und kann dann wieder weiterfahren. Aber Bei den Dünen, also in der Wüste, funktioniert das nicht. Zum einen ist es wahnsinnig gefährlich, weil mir die anderen Fahrer ja entgegenkommen, auch gerade über diese Dünenkämme. Zum anderen kostet es unfassbar viel Kraft, weil ich vielleicht nochmal richtige Dünenanstiege hochmachen muss und ich verliere wahnsinnig viel Zeit. Also ganz, ganz vieles, was auf jeden Fall dagegen spricht. Und deshalb braucht man natürlich eine Strategie, muss man sich was einfallen lassen, wie man das Ganze denn umsetzt und wie man da dann vorgeht. Und all das, das lernt ihr bei Willem. Da kann ich dann natürlich auch nochmal dazugeben, Mensch, ihr werdet da eine kleine Gruppe haben auf jeden Fall. Das ist keine Riesengruppe. Das ist auch nicht so das klassische Touri-Event, sondern gerade die Kollegen von Untamed Adventures, die sind auch aus Namibia, da ist das ganze Jahr da unterwegs. Ihr werdet da Namibia und das Land auf eine absolut nicht touristische Weise kennenlernen. Ihr werdet eine unfassbar tolle Zeit haben, weil das Ganze so unter dem Motto steht: Hey, wir sind alle Rallye-begeistert und es ist auch egal, ob ihr das aus Abenteuerlust, ob ihr das als Vorbereitung auf die Dakar oder was auch immer macht, irgendwas dazwischen. Ihr werdet da einfach dieses Motorradfahren mit Freunden unter Gleichgesinnten erleben in einem wahnsinnigen Land mit einer super Versorgung. Es ist natürlich auch für die Sicherheit gesorgt. Also sie haben entsprechend geländegängige Fahrzeuge, 4x4s als Standby, als Rettungsfahrzeug zur Verfügung, sodass ich euch nur sagen kann, Mensch, ich bin so ein bisschen verhindert dieses Jahr. Was heißt verhindert? Einfach durch Hochzeitspläne und so, sonst wäre ich da auf jeden Fall dabei. Ich hätte selber wahnsinnig Lust, diese Erfahrung zu machen. Wenn ihr mehr wissen wollt, dann einfach Willem, der ist auch überall in den Shownotes vermerkt, also über Instagram, über Facebook, über seine Homepage kontaktieren. Ich biete das auch super gerne an, wenn ihr sagt, Mensch, ich bin mir mit dem Englisch da nicht so sicher oder so, für die Erstkontaktaufnahme vielleicht. Sprecht auch sehr, sehr gerne mich an. Also ich stehe da wirklich zu 100% hinter der Sache und vermittle da gerne den Kontakt, dolmetsche ein bisschen, helfe euch so gut ich kann, was ich kann, dabei zu organisieren, um euch in die Wüste zu bringen. Und ja, an der Stelle würde ich sagen, wenn ihr noch mehr Fragen dazu habt oder so, dann meldet euch gerne bei mir. Ich habe auch die Unterlagen von Willem. Also wer wirklich Interesse hat und die ganzen Details mit Kosten und so auch möchte, der meldet sich gerne bei mir und dann schicke ich das gerne zu oder eben stell direkt den Kontakt mit Willem her. Dann sage ich an der Stelle auch nochmal auf Deutsch, ne? Vielen Dank fürs Zuhören. Schön, dass ihr beim Rallye Talk wieder dabei wart und macht es gut. Bis zum nächsten Mal.